Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let's read it again. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Jesus said this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and verse number 1. He said a parable unto his disciples. The Bible verse says this exactly. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We've been looking at that subject in regard to prayer, what it means to pray always, what is involved in keeping a continual attitude and a continual heart toward the Lord in prayer. And it's very important that we maintain that as the people of God. Here's what we have said concerning prayer by way of a definition. Prayer is the communication of one's soul to God. It is the communication of one's soul to God that reveals the desires and burdens of the person in prayer. It is offered in what? It is offered in what? Faith. It is offered in faith. It is sought through the will of God. It is petitioned in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving and aided by the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to read that to you again. You ought to jot that down. Make a mental note of it. When you try to figure out, sometimes there's things in the Bible that's hard to define, hard to figure out. And it's good to have a good, clear doctrinal definition of truths in the Bible so that you can have an idea of what you're studying or thinking about or what your need is when you're reading the Word of God. Prayer is the communication of one's soul to God that reveals the desires and burdens of the person in prayer. It is offered in faith. It is sought through the will of God. It is petitioned in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving and aided by the Holy Ghost. Jude said this in Jude 1 and verse 20. He says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And so we've been talking about prayer, and we've been talking about what it means or what is involved in praying always. And that we've been looking at Ephesians 6. So take your Bible there with us tonight for just a moment. Ephesians chapter number 6. And I want to try to progress to a thought that God has dealt with our heart about that I think will be helpful to us tonight. Ephesians chapter number 6, we know that this chapter deals primarily in the latter part with the armor of God, what we are to put on as the children of God in the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in. And in verse number 18 of Ephesians 6, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He says, praying always. And so that's been our theme. We've talked about the ability to pray in chapel. And we've talked about what it means to pray audibly. We're probably going to go back and talk about some of those things again. But we've been dealing with praying always. And we've given a reason why we should pray always. And that is this. We have a foe. We have an enemy that's against us. We do have an adversary tonight, and it's very important that you understand that. I talked to some of the little ones on Tuesday, and I told them, I said, you don't feel like that you really have an enemy in life. You're young, and you got friends all around you, a good mom and dad. You got people that love you in your family, and that's all wonderful and fine. But each one of these children need to understand that they do have an enemy. You know, the greatest lesson that we could learn as a country, and it seems as if that our politicians sometimes have a difficult time accepting this, but America has enemies. We have adversaries. We have people that is against us. And when you've really not done anything to create a strifeful or a contentious setting, it's sometimes hard to accept and understand that you have an enemy. Is that not right? I mean, if you've not done anything out of the way to anybody, it's really hard to accept sometimes that this person or these people do not like you, or they are against you, or they're trying to do you harm. But that is the case. That's the case in our country. That's the case in our social life sometimes. And it is always the case in our spiritual life. We have an enemy, and you need to understand that you have an adversary. And if you don't realize that tonight, just because you're saved by the grace of God and you desire to be at peace with all men, all you want to do is live your Christian life in this world and be an example of the faith to those around you, all you're interested in is keeping people out of hell and bringing people to the Savior so that they can enjoy life and peace and satisfaction and happiness. And when you have that mindset and you have that desire, sometimes it's difficult to try to understand why someone or anybody would be against that motive. But tonight you have an enemy, and it's very important that you understand that. And so the devil is real, and we're told that here in these verses. That's the purpose of this armor that we are to put on. And so you need, here's the point tonight. You need to pray always. You need to have a fervent, consistent, and an unending prayer life, because you have an enemy that seeks daily, desires daily, thirst for your destruction, and hungers to hinder you in your walk with God and in your service and growth as a child of the King. We talked about the wiles of the devil in verse number 11. We're told that he has wiles. In other words, he has methods and uses devices and trickery and craftiness. And we went into the details somewhat of how intelligent and how smart the devil is. And he is no fool. By no imagination is Satan some dummy that don't know which end's up or which way's up or which way's out. The devil is very wise. He is a master at any kind of field that you can imagine. The Bible tells us that he's perfect in wisdom. He knows all the laws of physics. He knows chemistry better than any group of scientists in all the world. The devil is very intellectual. He knows exactly what makes this world go around, and he knows everything about everything in this world, and you are no match for him. He can ensnare you. He can entrap you. He can destroy you, and you should pray. You can't do it on your own, and you must pray. And so we understand that he has wiles. We talked about how he wrestles, and we illustrated wrestling a little bit there in chapel, and how that it's a constant struggle. There's nothing more physical and more pressure oriented or more taxing on the body than wrestling. I mean, you go and watch, or if you've ever been involved in Olympic style wrestling, I mean, you know, it's just about two or three minute rounds, and I mean, they are exhausted at the close of it. In just a few minutes, 30 seconds, they're breathing hard and perspiring and weakening by the moment, because it's a constant struggle. And you better pray, because that's the way it is in serving God. You ever notice that in serving the Lord, you young men? You that's out of school, you in college, you ever notice by the chance that it's always pressure oriented? Standing for God on the job, living for Jesus daily, Brother Crabtree, it's a constant, there's a constant battle going on. There's constant pressure. It's always a strain. Preacher, I just can't handle that kind of pressure. I can't handle that kind of strain. I know that. That's why you need to pray. Because you are going to constantly face a battle. I tell you what, there's been times that I've got up, and as a pastor, I have thought before the day got started good, what am I going to have to face today? I mean, buddy, the runners have come hour after hour the day prior, and I thought, what else could go wrong? What else could happen? What individual would get in trouble today? And what am I going to have to try to make a choice or a decision about today? And sometimes the pressure surmounts to the point that it's overwhelming. And it'll get that way if you carry that church. If you carry a church, amen, and doesn't let the Lord take care of that for you. And so it's wrestling. We talked this week about the world. And then we talked about wickedness a little bit and how that all these things are found in these verses. But I want us to notice a few things tonight from Ephesians chapter 6 about this foe. And I want to talk about the weapons and what they represent in reference to the desire that the devil has to hinder and to impair and to, if he can, destroy you. In verse number 13, if you're there in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Then in verse 14, he says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." And so we find out that our loins are to be girt about with truth. Now, why is that? Why should our loins be girt about with truth? Because we need to stand. So I'm looking at this in a little bit a different angle tonight, if you'll allow me to. The devil desires to cripple you. The devil desires to knock the props out from under you. The devil desires that he would keep you from the ability to stand. And so because of that, that is the endeavor and that is the effort of the foe that is against us. And because of that, Paul closes out this chapter, closes out this paragraph or subject by saying, praying always. Gird yourself about with truth. Are you girded with truth tonight? Are your loins girt about with truth? I had the students today, I passed out some scripture references and I had them read a passage of scripture. Every one of them had a different one for the most part. And each one of those passages of scripture represented a miracle that Jesus performed. And I said, here's what I want you to do. Read that passage. Tell me what miracle it is. And tell me who was involved in that miracle. And then let me know what it says to you. And I give them a little bit of time, probably not enough time to really think through something along those lines. But it's amazing that we can read the scripture. And I say that because I know that I am guilty of this. And you are guilty of this. They read that and they would make very simplistic statements. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm going to tell you something. You need to learn to read the Word of God as an adult and as a mature Christian, and you need to be able to reason why this was written. It needs to speak to your heart. It needs to give you direction and guidance. It needs to strengthen you as you stand. The Bible says to gird yourself about with truth. That is an area that enables you to have stability, that enables you to stand. And it's that truth right there that you have in your lap. Amen. I hope you have it in your heart. But it's that book that you have in your lap tonight that you can work, amen, and allow to work in your life and strengthen you to stand. The devil desires to cripple you. The devil desires to keep you from standing. Amen. We can say that and we can go on, but you need to understand that there are people falling by the wayside on every hand. Amen. There are men that will not stand on truth. There are men that will not allow themselves to make absolute statements about the situation that our world is in and our country is in and our churches are in. Amen. And we need some people of God on the job, in their community, around their peers, and in the house of God to have a firm, stable foundation and stand. So, when we think about, are you with me tonight? We're thinking about the weapons. The weapons are this. Our loins are girt about with truth, and that is enabling us to stand. So I say this, the devil desires to attack your stand. Secondly, in verse 14, the latter part of that verse, he says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate, of course, covers the chest and the heart and that area of the body where the vitals are. But I thought about what would that represent when we know that the devil desires to, in a moment of time, take us out of the picture. But in this verse, I believe that I can say, when I think about my heart and I think about what my vital area represents in a spiritual realm, I believe you would agree tonight that I could say that that's our passion. You agree with that? I believe our inward man and those vital parts of us in a spiritual setting, in a spiritual meaning, would revolve around what we love and our passion. And so tonight, I want you to understand that it is necessary that you maintain a prayer life and learn what it means to pray always. If you don't, the devil desires to attack what you love. He desires to attack your passion. That's what happened to the church at Ephesus. They had left their first love. What do you love tonight? What's most important to you tonight? What are you thinking about right now? Everybody, wake up and look at me and listen right now. What are you thinking about? What was you thinking about before I got your attention just then? What were you thinking about during the song service? The reason I know it's easy for your mind to drift is that I was reading the Bible this week, several different occasions. I was reading the Word of God, and in my Bible reading, I was thinking about a truck. I was thinking about caulk and trim. I was thinking about the greenhouse. I was thinking about a water leak. And I'm reading the Bible the whole time. And I'd read an entire chapter of the Word of God, Brother James, and if you'd have held a gun to my head and said, I'm fixing to blow your brains out if you don't tell me what you read, you just have to shoot. Now, you may not have that unique skill and ability, but I do. And I'm telling you, if you're not careful, the devil is able to attack the area of our spiritual body that loves and is passionate. You ever see churches, I mean, just get in fusses and fights over things? You ever heard of, I mean, you've heard stories about that. We've never had that happen here really too much. But there's been churches that just flew all apart over carpet, over, you know, just silly things. I mean, lighting. I mean, I've heard stories, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard stories about, you know, about women fussing on which way the toilet paper hung in the bathroom, you know, whether it rolled over this way or rolled out from the bottom. Now, you think that's silly, but I'm telling you what, it's amazing what people will fuss and fight about, and churches will split, and there will be schisms within the body. And it is important. I tell you what, I'll guarantee you, if you will maintain a persistent prayer life, you won't be worried about what color the lights are or the carpet. Amen. That crowd doesn't pray. That crowd has no walk with God. You'd be amazed at the battles that preachers are fighting today in churches. It would astound you at the conflicts that they are having to deal with. And I had a pastor call today about one and was talking to him. I said, the best thing for you to do is set them down and say, look, we're here to serve the Lord. We're here to get the gospel out. We're here to try to win souls. We are here, amen, to gather together and strengthen the body of Christ. And anything outside of that, it doesn't matter. And we're not putting an emphasis on it, and we're not messing with it. And so tonight, it's important that you pray. The devil desires to attack what you love. Do you love the church? Do you love the things of God tonight? Do you love the Word of God? Is it more important to you than a sport? Is it more important to you than playing volleyball on Thursday night? Is it more important to you than getting together with the young people and playing basketball on Mondays? The Word of God. It's amazing you don't have time for the Word of God, but you have time for everything and everybody else. And I'm telling you tonight, if you're not careful and you don't put that breastplate on and understand the importance of protecting that area of your spiritual life, the devil will destroy you. That is his desire. And because of that, you have got to pray. You've got to pray. Then I thought about this. I'll hurry along, just a couple, three more. Verse 15 says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And this is not alliterated, but it's still preaching. Amen. Whether it starts with the same letter or not. The weapons he uses, amen, the weapons that he desires to attack is these things. In other words, we are equipped. Let me make sure I'm wording this right. We are equipped with these things for a purpose. Our loins are girt about with truth so that we can stand. And while we stand, the devil desires to keep us from standing. Amen. Our breastplate is there because we are to protect the things that we should spiritually love and have a passion for, and the devil desires to disrupt that and destroy that. And in verse 15, our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, because there is a walk that the Lord Jesus wants us to walk in. There is a path to walk in. There is a walk that he expects. There is a circumspect life, a moderation, a behavior, a conversation that we are to show this world of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't do that, amen, then the world's without hope. And so tonight, it's very simple and very elementary, but the devil desires to attack your walk. And so you have to pray. Well, preacher, I thought I needed to put on my feet, this preparation of the gospel. You do. But he says in verse 18, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. My point is this: the devil is real, and he desires to destroy everything about your walk and your service to God. And if you're going to overcome him, you are going to have to pray always. Notice what he says in verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now when we look at all these pieces of armor, and they're all pretty much fixed, aren't they? Right? Our loins are girt about with truth. Our breasts are covered with the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay? Those things are locked in place. You put those on, you don't move them. But now the shield of faith is different. The shield of faith is a mobile piece of defensive armor. It moves. Okay? It moves from place to place, all right? And it is designed, is that thing still working? And it is designed, are you listening to me? It is designed so that you can ward off the fiery darts of the wicked. So what that means is this: it means that the devil desires to attack your body. And God has said that you have a shield of faith. And I could describe these spiritually, and I don't have time to do that. I'm not preaching on the armor. I'm preaching about the reason you need to pray always. You need to understand that the devil is attacking from all fronts, and the devil is attacking from all sides. And that shield of faith is designed to be mobile, to move from side to side and up and down, to ward off those darts so that your body is not hindered. You know, a dart can be fatal, but it also can wound. How many of you here tonight ever been wounded? Spiritually impaired. How many of you tonight have ever faced a day of waking up as a child of God, and when you woke up, you felt like you was defeated before you got started because of what happened the day before? You ever failed the Lord? I have. You ever acted in a way you shouldn't act, done something you shouldn't do? Your body is impaired. You feel like your vessel has been contaminated. You feel as if you can't do what you thought you should do because of the choice that you made on yesterday. Those are the fiery darts of the wicked. And he can use one of a thousand things to try to impair you and hinder your body. We know that the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So your body is very important to the Lord. It is the tabernacle in which God has chosen to dwell in on this earth. We sang that song in chapel, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. And I said, what does that mean? I said, what is a sanctuary? Nobody gave me an answer. They stared, you know, I don't know what it is about students and even staff sometimes. They just stare at you like they're about to pass out and they're scared of everything, scared to say something. They're going to be wrong or whatever, what the case may be, except for Sam. Sam will say it whether he's wrong or not. Amen. Well, I'm glad somebody at least says something. I said, what is a sanctuary? Nobody knew. Nobody gave an answer. So we're sitting here singing a song, Lord, prepare me to be I don't know what. Righteous, holy, and true, Lord. I want to be righteous and holy and true so I can be what I don't have a clue about. Make me absolutely what I don't know. That's what we were singing. And a sanctuary is a place of tabernacling. And what we're singing is, God, I realize that your spirit indwells me. I realize that I am carrying you in this world. And make me a sanctuary. Make me a vessel that's pleasing, that's sanctified, that is holy in your sight. And so with that understanding, we realize that these bodies that walked in this building, that we brought to the house of God tonight, amen, is carrying around the holy God of heaven in this world. Amen. Now that's hard to sometimes understand, but that, my friend, is a biblical truth. Amen. 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 And so tonight it's very important that you understand that your body is very vital in your service to God and in your walk with the Lord. You ought to take care of it. Now, I didn't take care of mine today. I've been trying to watch what I eat. I've been trying to exercise a little bit. And I jumped off the wagon today. I mean, I dove off head first. I went to the Pizza Hut and got a pizza, and I eat all but three pieces of a large pizza, and I'm paying for it right now. Amen. First piece of pizza I've eaten. I couldn't tell you how long. Amen. But I'm telling you, your body is very important to the Lord. It is a vessel in which God can use. You know, if somebody who preached tonight at the challenge program, Brother Josh preached, you know that there was a body involved in that? You know, somebody drove the young people over there. There were people that took, somebody drove that vehicle. There were Bibles taken in there. There were hands that held those Bibles. There were hands that played the instrument. There were hands that held a microphone. There were lips that sang. That's a body. What are you doing with yours? How important is it? I'm telling you, the devil can, he may not, that shield of, that breastplate of righteousness may be in place, and he may not be able to throw a dart and take you out in a vital, but I mean, that shield may be in the wrong place, and he may get an arm. He may get a leg. There may be a wounding, an impairing, a hindrance. You got to pray. The importance of all this, even though we talk about these pieces of armor, the final end of this story is they are only utilized and they are only made powerful in our life as we keep a constant and consistent life of prayer. Lastly, and I'm finished. Verse 17, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So here's what the devil attacks. He attacks our stand. He attacks our passion, what we love. He attacks our walk. The devil is going to attack your body. You realize that people are doing things with their body that will keep them from ever being able to serve God to their full potential. You go out in society and take a look around you and you will see that there are people doing things with their body that's going to affect, if God saved them today, it's going to affect them from being a witness of the cause of Christ for the rest of their life. Be careful what you do with your body. And then your mind. The devil wants to attack your mind. And so you have to pray. Have that helmet on. The helmet of salvation. Why is this helmet of salvation? Why is it on the head? What's the deal with that? When it comes to salvation, you know the greatest battle that you'll fight? The greatest battle that you'll fight is in your mind. How powerful has doubt worked on you in your Christian life? You doubt in your mind. It's all in your mind, isn't it? I believe it was Miss Crawford that testified here the other night that she got up and was trying to read the Bible. And the devil and the flesh and everything that was a negative influence was saying, that's not true, the Bible's not true, this is not true, you're not saved. Are you listening to me, young lady? That's your mind. You know why some of you can't have victory in your Christian life tonight? It's because you haven't listened to a thing I've said tonight. Your mind has been wandering. Your mind is not focused on salvation and the things of God. You have not been able to captivate your mind. I sit and teach you, some of you in class, and your mind is off in left field. Some of you struggle academically. Some of you children do. And some of you adults do as well in your Christian life, because your mind is out of control. The reason I can read a chapter in the Bible and never tell you one thing I've read is because the helmet of salvation has been affected. Everything about this whole thing revolves around the grace of God that I've experienced. Where's your mind at? I've seen the power of God move in the church. And I've seen folks worship. I've seen folks testify. And I've sat here and looked at people in the congregation and they were stone-faced, dead. And you know what I thought, Brother Jim? What is on their mind? I mean, when the power of God is moving and people are getting help and the Spirit of the Lord is real and they have no regard or sense that His presence is even manifest, you have to pray to get victory over that. Where is your mind right now? What are you thinking about this very moment? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I talked about Tuesday how powerful the world is. And I wasn't trying to be mean or preach on sins or particular things. I was just trying to get our young people to understand that the world influences them, just like it influences you. Right? You comb your hair, the kind of clothes you wear, and the car you drive, and the way your house, even the trim in your house, is all influenced by the style in the world, isn't it? Is that not right? We're not dressed like they dressed 50 years ago. Is that right? And I'm telling you tonight, And I'm not saying there's anything sinful in of itself in regarding some of that. But my point was this. You need to understand that the world has power. Amen. It has power I'm going to have an afro here in a minute. But the world has power to influence you. Look at your, go home. Go home tonight. You ladies, go home tonight. And just be honest, go home tonight and look in the mirror. And say, now, why did I cut my hair like this? Right? Amen. Amen. Correct over here laughing. But John the Baptist didn't have a goatee either. Amen. Is that right? Is that right? Just take a look. I said, you can go different places. They got billboards painted on their toenails and everything else. And I said, where'd that come from? I said something about the boy's hair sticking out in the front. You know, that little right there in the front, you know. Where'd that come from? Just be honest. Where'd it come from? Do you know? You just didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to put this greasy stuff on my hair and I'm going to flip it and stick it out right there in the front so it looks like a little bitty porcupine or a rat terrier's hind end. Because I just think that'll look cool. You just didn't do that, did you? I don't think you're that creative. You didn't do it that way. No, you did that because it was influenced by the world. Amen or not? It was influenced by the world. That's exactly right. And, some of that, sadly enough to say, you might trace back to sodomy. If you would really look back to some of it. But for conscience sake, you might not want to ask any questions. Amen. So where did that come from? What I'm trying to tell you is, young ladies, what I'm trying to tell you tonight, young ladies, young men, moms, and dads, I mean, the tennis shoes, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I have a pair of basketball shoes, and they're very good shoes, and they're would probably be in style, as we call it. Okay? But I'm just telling you tonight, you need to understand how powerful the influence of the world really is in your life. And if you could sit down and say, I'm combing my hair this way because of the world. And that's how powerful the world is. And know that. It will be a great thing in your Christian life when it comes to overcoming the world. Amen. Now I'm driving a truck. I'm not riding a wagon. And I thank the Lord for it. But the point I'm trying to make tonight is the world is powerful and it will mess with your mind, and you better gird up the loins of your mind. And the way you do that is to keep a consistent, a perpetual life of prayer. Do you pray? Pray always. Be able to get a hold of God. Be able to get a hold of the Lord. Don't have to spend half the day or half the week repenting before you can pray for a loved one that's in trouble. Amen. Praying always. These are areas that the devil is going to attack. And because we understand tonight that we have a foe, that should then in turn promote within our own heart and life the need to pray.